The Pro Tools Expert Podcast is brought to you with the support of Group 3 with Russ Hughes, Mike Thornton, and James Ivey.
Well, good evening and welcome to Pro Tools Expert Podcast 159. It's the 23rd of March, 2015. I'm Russ Hughes.
I'm Mike Thornton.
I'm James Ivey.
And I'm Dan Cooper.
Good evening, Dan. And Dan's with us on the show tonight. As you could probably see now, we're jumping between Dan and Julian. I don't mean literally, they're not both with us now. We're not jumping up and down on them. It's not like they've got a banjo or something that they're playing. Anyway, Mike, Group 3 titles. What ones worth looking at this week?
So we've new ones this week. The Waves Abbey Road Collection Explained. So the Abbey Road plugins from Waves. If that's your fancy, then take a look at that one. And then Iris 2 Explained, Isotopes Iris, their visuals, graphical interface synth. If you want to get your head inside the new version of Iris, Iris 2, then check that one out from our friends at Groove 3.
Good. And competitions, Mike?
So we've got last week or so of competitions. We've got the opportunity to win one of 10 LVC audio limiter bundles. They've got a bus limiter and a mastering limiter bundled together. And so 10 lucky people will be able to win one of those bundles. And then the new Antares Auto-Tune 8. There's a possibility of winning one of two copies of Auto-Tune 8. So for both of those, hop over to the win page and sign up. If you don't sign up, there's no chance of winning.
So, Mike, deals. There's still two great deals going, aren't there?
There are. There's the Virtual CZ from Plugin Boutique. And, Russ, you took a look at that, didn't you?
Yeah, love it. It was great. As I say, it's got a librarian built in as well. I don't mean a lady with books. I say that every week. But it's got a librarian built in. And it's also got a great... Basically, you can use it as a librarian and then send it back to the hardware version. So it's not only a virtual instrument, it's also a programmer for the hardware, if you've got that. So make some more of those. That's a really cool idea. So nice. I love that. And Dan, I think you reviewed the Zeplane, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It's very good. I'm using it every week now. It's very good. So, get your hands on that.
So, you're using it, what, just to thicken up and add harmonies to backing vocals?
Yeah, just to try extra harmonies. But it's also just so I can try some harmonies as well without having to necessarily sing them. Just quickly throw it in, have a quick idea. Does it work? Doesn't it? You know, move on, off, not, you know, use it. And, I want to try doing some Brian May Queen guitar harmonies with it next. See how Ooh. It sounds.
That's nice a good one. Idea, isn't it? That yeah. would be very yeah. nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So the Virtual CZ from Plugin Boutique is 35% off at £37, and the Instant Harmony from Zeplane is £59, which is 26% off.
Fantastic. Let's get on to some talking points. This is sponsored by our friends at Universal Audio. Over to you, Fab.
Good morning, children. This is Fab DuPont. The Pro Tools Expert Podcast Talking Points are brought to you with the support of Universal Audio.
And we've got the last week or so of the Apollo plugin promo. So that runs till the end of March. If you purchase an Apollo audio interface, then you can get up to $1,295 worth of free UAD plugins. The bigger the interface, the more plugins you will get. So, Russ, we're a week away from the new website being launched.
Yes, we are.
We perhaps need to just flag up one or two things on the run-up to the website launch.
Mike, you're good at this kind of thing. So give me a list and we'll tick them off.
Transitions, we need to sort of make sure that we're going to make sure that there's going to be as few problems with transitions. But firstly, we need to make sure that people are aware of these transitions. And if you do have a little bit of grief, then do bear with us. But it will be worth it.
It will be worth it. Yeah, we're working very hard. We've got some surprises for you next week in terms of... It's not just a technical update. It's an update that really goes back to the spirit of why the blog was created in the first place and what inspired me to do it. And we're really excited about what we hope we're going to be able to empower people to do with what we've been building. And so you'll see that next week. So if you haven't been checking your email recently, there's an important email going to everybody that had a Pro Tools Expert membership account. I know that Dan got his email because he then spoke to me on Facebook about it. But for those of you who've been paying £20 or $35 a year to be a member of Pro Tools Expert, all your accounts were cancelled this week. That was a lot of accounts. And we've cancelled every single one of them. You've still got access to the old site. It hasn't stopped you getting access. But you need to read that email. So we've sent it out twice. And we're going to keep sending it out until you've all read it. So I think we've got pretty good coverage of that. So
the key thing, I think, with that, Russ, isn't it, is that basically if you had, say, 6 months of your annual subscription to run, then you will get the appropriate 6 months on the new version of the site.
Yes, it's not if without going into too much detail about what's happening. Basically, if you've paid for a membership, you are not going to be out of pocket when we go to the new site. We're going to make sure that everybody is taken care of, and you'll see how that happens when we go live with the new site. So stand by. We've just been talking to the people that are helping us work on that. We've been working with a fantastic team of developers who have been doing a lot of the back engine. But as I say, so that's the first thing. The second thing is that sometime next week, on the 30th, we flick the button. So we're not doing it Back to the Future style. We're doing it next week. So the 30th, we flick the button, and there may be problems as servers resolve, DNS servers registries start to get resolved. So please be patient. Please don't bombard our support emails with, I can't get to a page, there's a broken link. It's probably going to take 2 or 3 days for all the links and everything to go right. But we're working hard in the background. We've got a team that are working, going through every article we've ever written and updating it, deleting stuff that's not relevant anymore, like old win pages and old deals pages and old sales pages. And it's a massive overhaul on so many levels. We know you're going to love it. But stand by for a brand new Pro Tools Expert site.
I think it's fair to say it's more than one or two articles, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It goes back 2008, at the average of 40 articles a month. So it's about 6,000 articles, I think, we've had to go through to clean up and change and modify and make sure that the experience for you on the new site is second to none. And we've bound to have missed stuff, but we hope that's minimal. So I think that's it really, Mike, for now, isn't it? Is there anything else you think I should say?
No, I think that's fine. It's the key thing is things will be changing. Things will be not be, we'll try and make it as smooth as possible, but there may be little hiccups as we do the switch around the 30th of March.
Indeed.
Excellent. Well, James, you've been busy in your studio. You put a video up recently on your YouTube channel of a song with a couple of artists, and you've gone and put on the Pro Tools Expert site how you tracked the vocals with your Focusrite Red 500 series preamp. Tell us more.
I mean, it was one of those, I think it was probably NAMM last year where we first heard rumour of the mythical Red One 500 series preamp. Then it came out and I got one. And I've been using it ever since and not really shouted about it or waved about it. So I thought, well, I've got Louis and Lara were coming over to do some sessions with me with the pretense that we would actually intentionally shoot these as PTE videos as well as how-tos, as well as videos for them and to put on the YouTube channel, things like that. So I thought, well, you know, we'll start with the stuff that I rely on the most, and it is things like the Red series plugins now and the Red Pre. And, you know, it was a pretty simple session, three acoustic guitar channels and a vocal, but I think it sounds really nice. It's always good to, I think, limit yourself to a small number of goodies and a small number of plugins. It's very easy to start throwing every single plugin you've got and the kitchen sink at a recording project, but sometimes you shouldn't. Sometimes you just sort of ease it back, go with what you know, and produce what I think is actually a pretty damn good sounding track.
It sounded really nice, and then when you shared your Pro Tools screen, it was really, really straightforward. No tricks. So I like that.
I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. Take on recording is always make it sound like it did in the room. Now, yes, we all get to the stage where we want to enhance it. We want to make it bigger. We want to make the stereo field bigger. We want to put delays and reverb and huge, make it sound like it's in a huge space. And there's a little bit of that going on. But I like my instruments to sound like they did, which is probably why I'm a tracking guy rather than a synths guy or a mix engineer. I like it to sound like it did in the room when I was listening to them. So that's kind of my take on it. We've got a few more of those videos coming with different featured gear and featured plugins, things like that. But I also thought that you guys are probably bored to the back teeth of seeing me noodle the same five licks really fast in any key on guitar and drums and things. So I thought I'd get someone else involved and change it up a bit. There's a few more people I've got to ask who've all offered their services in return for video content and stuff like that. Not saying I'm going to give them Radio 1 level of exposure or anything like that, but it's nice to work with new people and nice to work with people who bring something different to the PTE package, if you like. So, looking forward to putting some more stuff out with Louis and Lara.
So, Dan, you did 5 tips for tracking electric guitar, which got a lot of interest. Talk about that with us.
Yeah, I was tracking quite a lot of electric guitar last week for my own purposes and for other musicians that was coming in the studio. And one of the clients that coming in was recording littered my studio floor with pedals. And I remember the day before I was tracking myself and got a better sound with just one pedal. And I thought, hold on a minute, there's an article in this. Mainly because when I was tracking, I noticed quite a few problems with a few of my guitars. So it kind of stopped me from recording. I noticed my Strat, the intonation somehow gone quite bad. So fixed that, looked at some other guitars. All the strings were a bit tied on that, so I won't use that. I need something quite bright. I'll just put 5 things out there because there's so many things to think of when recording any instrument. But electric guitar, you've got all these things that can make it very colourful, very different, very unique. I just thought, let's just put some ideas out there of what, you know, if we all think together, ideas for when you are tracking electric guitar. And there's been quite some good comments.
It's been from both the usual suspects and some new people as well.
Yeah, they kept it very clean this time, which is nice.
Yeah,
and
I think you got a better deal than Mike and his microphone update.
And that was a great video.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but to be honest, it's worth reading the comments on the 5 tips for tracking electric guitar. You've got William Whitman on there, who's Cyndi Lauper's bass player and a great friend of the blog. You've got Ned Ward on there, who's a great guitar player. You've got Bob Olson on there making comments. There's a lot of great feedback on there and a lot of great stuff that's been added in. Over and above what you said as well, Dan. So great article. Well,
I've got
done.
Some more of them going to come out soon. So
yeah. You might want to hold off until the new site now.
We'll do.
You've only got to put them on the new site.
And also, we had someone get in touch with us, community member Rob get in touch with us via the support email with a great raft of more tips. So
that will be coming
out fairly shortly. So it was brilliant, not just a few comments but a whole article. So rather than cloud the issue, we're going to publish that as a separate article. So thanks, Rob, for taking the time to write that up for us.
Do it, it's better than mine, it's brilliant.
So we're kind of having a bit of a plugin theme going on there. The plugins I reach for when mixing in Pro Tools. What are yours, Russ?
This is a rerun of an article we ran before, but people loved it so much we thought we'd get it back out there again. And it's to be honest, it was interesting. I ran this first, I think, at the beginning of 2014. But looking at it when I ran it, it's the same plugin still. Which is good, isn't it? That basically that you get classic stuff that you just rely on. Mag EQ4, great on vocals, great on acoustic guitar, DBX 160. I've got the real one as well, which sounds worse than the plugin, as we know. The Soft Tube, I was with those guys last week, and that's a great reverb, as is Michael Carnes' stuff. I hope we're going to mention Excalibur today on the show, because it's just come out today, I think.
It has indeed.
It's more than I think, so it better be on the show somewhere. H-Delay, it's my reach for delay for guitars and stuff. Pitch 2 from Avid, the best thing they've done in 5 years. Worth more than the price of Pro Tools 12, but we're getting onto that in a while. Mac DSP 6030 Ultimate Compressor. Yeah, Slate's VBC, all of them. Yeah, they're all great. And of course, things like Pultec EQ, which is a classic one, and ATR 102 is sitting on the mix bus of every mix I do. So and then a lot of great responses from people as well. Another great pile of stuff from people. So well worth running that article again. I don't know what about you guys, but any of my stuff, your stuff?
Yep. Mag EQ for vocals.
Same.
Instant vocal gratification.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, I can quite happily use most things, to be honest, because it all sounds pretty damn good these days. There's not that many ropey plugins out there. You can get a really good noise out of the stock stuff. We know that. You could probably, I think it's even in the interview I did with Steve, but more of that later, where we talk about limiting your number of plugins, things like that. But yeah. There's definitely stuff I go for all the time. Mag EQ's in there, the tape stuff, the Slate VBC. It's all great stuff. It's a go-to. It just works. You know what to get from it. You know how it's going to sound.
I like it because it looks so dull, but I mean that with love. If you know what I mean, the Mag EQ4. It's just very simple, very quick to use because I'm not distracted by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, although my requirements are somewhat different, I mean, certainly the Exponential Audio, the Phoenix Verb and the R2, the Renaissance bass is a tool that I will often reach for. So some similarities as well as obviously different tools that we need in audio post.
Well, there used to be a plugin years ago in Pro Tools. It was called the Cosmonaut Voice.
Oh yes,
oh, I used to love that.
I used to use it all the time. I loved it.
I love the fact you could go between on the
and
end
bleep.
Or
yes.
beep.
Yeah, I hated the beep. I used to sit there and automate the bloody thing out all the time. But I loved that. Really did. So good.
No, it's great for walkie-talkie sound effects in post, but unfortunately, it's not made the transition to Pro Tools 11, which is infuriating.
No, someone needs to remake that plugin with a few
Indeed.
Different nationalities or something. Just,
yep.
You know, I'd use it. I'd buy it.
Yeah.
One of my favourite plugins that's only ever been VST is the Delay Llama. And I'm not joking.
Oh, I remember
really
that,
is,
yeah.
It really is called the Delay Llama. Just this thing that goes, oh, it's an amazing thing that could be really good for kind of sound design and kind of really low levels of noise in tracks.
I've got some clients that can do that.
Careful. I think we should move on before anybody else drops themselves in.
I used to have some clients like that.
Yes. I think that's probably more appropriate after that comment. So, James, you had a very interesting interview with Steve Jenowick. Tell us a bit more about it for those that haven't heard the interview yet.
Okay. So I met Steve over a beer at NAMM, funnily enough, and I think we probably spent the day chasing each other round Anaheim and round the halls and stuff, trying to meet up. He reached out to me completely out of the blue. He'd signed all his texts and emails off just Steve, so I hadn't put two and two together that this was a guy who is well respected and well known in the LA and worldwide recording scene. And when he's
why have you put an Alan Freeman voice on? Do love for charity. That's what you said.
It's great.
Freeman, you're talking. It's groovy.
Bot pickers.
So when we finally did get together and started chatting, there's a few plans that we kind of started to put together. And one of the first one was I wanted to get Steve to have a chat on a podcast extra. So a couple of days ago, he woke up the Cracker Sparrows to come on the podcast and come on Skype with me, and we had a quick natter, which turned into about 45, 50 minutes worth of just talking about gear and recording and toys and... So if you haven't had a listen and you at some point have a cup of tea or whatever, whack that podcast extra on, because it's actually quite a civilized chat. It's just a nice sit down and a bit of a kind of a bit of a chin wag.
I like the way he talks about the analog days. He's quite blunt about that, isn't he?
Well, you know, he's a guy. He's not going to get nostalgic about it.
No.
I don't. He basically said, "I'm glad they're done," which I think is hilarious. Amen. In some ways.
It's just the way that he sort of said it, like it didn't even matter that you were talking about it. It was brilliant. I liked it.
There was so much stuff as well that we were chatting about. Once we both said, "Right, well, that's it. There's our kind of nearly our hour," and I didn't realise that. We were sort of chatting about some fairly controversial things about, as in the what gear they use at Capital, and the fact they're still using 192s. And it turns out that a lot of their clients, as soon as most of the stuff they record is either at 96K or 192.
Wow.
And a lot of their clients are saying, "You recorded that on tape, didn't you?" And Steve said, yeah, if you like, but knowing full well they actually recorded it at 192 on a 192. There's another podcast extra to happen there, and we start talking, just really getting off topic a little bit more. But it was a great chat. He's a lovely guy. We've already started putting kind of some early plans out to get some official. Well, to get permission to do some stuff next year's NAMM. I know it's a long way off yet, but corporate America can take a little while to get things rubber stamped. So we've started the ball rolling on that, and it could be absolutely incredible for next year.
Great.
Nice. That's very nice. So, Dan, what inspired you to give 5 reasons for making demos before producing a song?
Again, 2 reasons. One of them was for my own selfish reasons, and another again was
your own selfish reasons.
I was working on a track for me and my wife, the Georgie Dan thing, actually, you know, taking one of the songs that we did, one of the live recordings, and turning it into a production. And you know what, because I did that inverted demo, the live recording, it took me about 6 hours to finish, and so far we're both very, very pleased with it. We just need to get some pedal steel and some other instruments in. And I just remember thinking, that was because of the demo. Then I tried to do another one, which I didn't do a demo to, and it's hit the wall. And it got me thinking about clients that I work with, ones that come through with a CD or USB stick. They throw it at me and say, "Listen to this," and they're kind of pleased with it, and they talk you through what works and what doesn't work, and you work with that, and you make something that everyone's pleased with. And then you get the clients come through that go, "I've got the lyrics on a bit of paper, and I've got a rough idea of what the melodies are going to do. Here's a rough idea of the song," and you can spend days deciphering that, and you haven't even started producing, and that only ever harms the song and the production and everything else. So I just thought I'd put something out there again, you know, 5 reasons why it is important to make demos. A lot of people don't see the need for that because it's kind of, well, let's just start tracking.
A demo could even be someone singing the lyrics, maybe with an acoustic guitar chord here and there, into an iPhone. I get that quite a lot.
Yeah, same.
But I also get people who say, "I've got Pro Tools M-powered 7, and I've done," and they've pretty much sort of mapped out the track before it even arrives at me, which is absolutely brilliant because we all know what page we're on. We're all heading in the same direction.
They're such an important tool. The more time you spend on the demo, and I'm not saying you've got to spend a hell of a lot of time, but as long as you try to get that right, you're off. It just makes sense to everybody. If you don't have a demo, I'm sort of talking more sort of, you know, for songs, production of songs, you can get a little bit lost very, very quickly, very soon into any projects. And if someone's paying for that, it's only going to hurt their wallet.
It's a similar thing that I find when I'm doing radio production work. The clients that come to me with a structure, maybe even just a paper edit, but they've actually done the structure and worked out the narrative, worked out how the story's going to lay out. The program is so much easier to put together than someone who's really not actually structured it and thought it through, because then it becomes a needle in a haystack. Oh, yes, there was this clip somewhere and you go hunting for it, and because they weren't very organized, it's a nightmare to find it. So I think the demo idea gives you that structure and that song equivalent to working out the narrative.
Yeah, got to plan what you do. And it's a good tool. To do that, good format. And you can do it on anything. So I remember the year before last, someone came in and played me a demo, and I sat between the speakers and thought, that is incredible. I said, we're not going to need to do much of that. Can you get me the session file and we'll just replace the bass because it doesn't sound quite right, and we'll get you to re-sing it, give it a mix, and we'll just work with it. And she went, she passed me her iPad. You've done it in GarageBand.
Don't forget that Umbrella was done with the GarageBand loop.
Oh, that, yeah.
The Rihanna
song.
Let's never despise the day of small beginnings, because there's some cool stuff going on. Do you know what I mean?
No, it was really good. I mean, I worked with that, and all I did was just a few little bits and bobs, and we managed it within her budget, and yeah, she was well pleased. So, yeah.
There's several phrases that fall in there. There's the fail to plan, plan to fail, and the five P's.
Well, a recording studio, unless you own it, is no place to songwrite.
No.
Definitely not.
No, I've heard too much money ticking. With that. People sitting on the sofa going, oh, God, I need a bridge and a second verse and half a chorus. And you're going, that's fine. I'm just going to sit here and drink lots
of
coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they look to me like, can you help? Well, you haven't asked me for that, and that's not really what we're doing here. So, yeah. Yeah, difficult. Demos all the way. Helps.
Definitely. So ours is not the only website that's where there's some changes going on. Today, I think it was, Pro Tools 12, or as it will be yesterday by the time you get this, Pro Tools 12 went on sale in the Avid store. Discuss, or maybe it's disgusting, who knows?
Well, I think if we just go through some of the things that Avid have made public... So
or both of them.
Yes. I mean, in terms of the options of the way to buy it, you now have a wide range. So you've got subscription options where you can pay basically $30 a month and you'll get Pro Tools every month, providing you continue paying and get your standard support. You can buy it outright, what they call a perpetual license, for $899, and then $199 to keep that up to date. You can upgrade your HD version for basically $600, $599 a year. There are nice education prices, so you can get Pro Tools 12 for, instead of the subscription being $29.99, it's $9.99. And if you get a perpetual license, instead of it being $899, it's $299. So some interesting ways of buying it. I think the question that is uppermost in everybody's minds is what you will or won't get for your dollars.
Well, only one of us can really tell that, because only one of us has bought it so far.
Yeah, so I didn't even buy it. I decided for the heck of it, I'd pay £18, which is the sum that you pay for a monthly subscription to try it, to download it, because it's a bit sparse. The only way you can find out what you're going to get from 12, this version of 12, that's a funny way of saying it, is to go to the DUC, and they highlight what is in it, which is... bugger all, basically. I don't know. I've promised I won't Avid bash, but I'm finding it really hard not to say anything about this, because let me say, it's the fastest version of Pro Tools I've ever uninstalled from my machine in my life. It lasted less than an hour. I'm back on 11.3 It took me longer to download it than it did to try and remove it.
Because it took your Pro Tools 11 install away, didn't it?
Yeah, so it removed my Pro Tools 11. I'll tell you the story. And then, so I went and bought it from the store, which was a bit convoluted, to say the least. Not ever being quite sure about what Avid would do with old licenses and iLocks, I decided, screw this, I'm not going to even let them go near my real iLock account. So I have a second iLock account and a second iLock subscribed to it, which is to just in case... people want to try and break things. So I had it dumped into that account. Now, normally what you would do, correct me if I'm wrong here, is open your iLock manager. The license was in there. Drag it from the right onto the left, onto the iLock, and then it's there. So I did that. Then I opened Pro Tools. Pro Tools said it couldn't find the license. So it then said activate license. So they went through this whole activation screen. thinking I had to log into my Avid account. I didn't actually. I had to log into my, iLock account, but I'm thinking, well, I've already put it on my iLock, so it can't find the iLock. So then spent 5 minutes plugging the iLock into different ports on the machine, thinking there was something wrong with my iLock. Eventually, I threw it off my iLock back into the account. Then when I launched Pro Tools 12 again, then said, do you want to activate this? Then I could then activate it via a special activation screen rather than using the iLock license manager. Then it activated it. Then it opened. Then I scratched my head for 10 minutes wondering what was in it that was different from Pro Tools 11. In fact, there's not even a number on the screen. You go and look at my Facebook page, you don't even get the number 12. As we predicted, the number's gone. And what Avid have given you is they've reinstated AFL, PFL as of Pro Tools 8, I think, and before. They have sort of done a slightly better version of the I/O on it, so that when you open a session,
the I/O window is supposed to have been overhauled.
Overhauled. That's a bit of a if washing my windscreen of my car is overhauling my car. What they've done is fix something that was wrong in the first place. That every time I opened a, let's say Dan sent me a session he'd done on his HD system, when I opened it on my Apollo, it would say the I/O was all wrong, so you'd have to go through and figure it out. Now you kind of can fix that. That's it. That is it.
I mean, there's the collaboration software.
There's no track freeze, there's no collaboration. Oh, the store's in there. Oh, sorry, forgive me. I'm really sorry. This is really not fair of me. The store's in there where you can buy plugins within Pro Tools. So I tried it. I went in and I logged in and tried to buy a plugin. And the store has a sum total of one plugin for sale, which is their Pro Compressor.
Nice.
Nice.
It is embarrassing. Shameful. I've had an update from Adobe this week for my Photoshop. It wasn't even an update, it just appeared in the background that had more changes than this has had. I words fail me. If it was April the 1st, I'd understand. But it is, don't waste your time, your money, your bandwidth, the shit of going through, taking it off your machine and putting it on 11.3 again. I can't even, that's it. That's my review.
Well, I was going to say quickly there, you had all those problems trying to get it working. With that money that you spent, surely you should have given their support plan a ring.
Well, apparently I've got a support thing, but trying to use that looks so convoluted. I've got more chance.
You only get two goes.
We thought it would be.
To be honest, I've got more chance of ringing my mom of getting somewhere, who's 79 this week. But it's just, I can't even begin to... I'm speechless. I am speechless by this.
I think that the big scare factor here is that it obliterates your Pro Tools 11.
Yeah, removes it all. So I've just had to reinstall it. Thankfully, it's installed and running properly now. Well, as properly as it ever did. I don't know what Avid wants us to say. It's just, if I was in marketing today, I'd go on holiday.
Did it take away Pro Tools 10 as well?
Takes it all off.
You're it takes 10 off as well.
I think it takes 10 off, but I haven't had 10 for ages, so I might be wrong there.
I was just going to say, because I always keep 10 in the background just in case I get an old session.
If somebody wants me to install 10, I can install 10 if somebody wants me to, just to try.
Yeah.
But then I'm on a Yosemite. Can I install it on Yosemite now?
No.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Not 10 Yosemite.
No, not 10. Okay. So, as I say, the words fail me. And that's it's... I don't know what to say, guys.
Let's move on.
Please.
I don't know. Mike, have you got anything you want to add in?
No. I must admit, in my wisdom, I don't know, whatever, I did assume that the collaboration and track fees would be in 12. That is incredibly disappointing if that is not there.
No, because, in fact, if you go to the DUC...
that was the key issue that was, that was the key part of going to 12, was the collaboration and the backup features. You know, that was the key element of the platform.
This is 11.4 at best, 11.5 at a stretch. It's not 12. But it's probably something to do with the ridiculous Sarbanes-Oxley rule. Well, they're not ridiculous, but it's the thing that Avid keep trotting out every time they want to tell us why things come out at certain things. If it had to come out this quarter, then I don't know what to say. It's just, I've decided, I was reading a thing on grief the other day, and I think I've done the same thing with Pro Tools. I've gone through the five stages of grief, to the point now where I just don't know what to say anymore.
I mean, I have a perfectly working system. It does the what I need it to do. It's the tools that I'm comfortable with. I'm carrying on using it.
There's literally no reason to update. It's like Englishman, Irishman, and Scotsman. It's a joke.
Money best saved. That's
indeed
all I can say.
Oh, what can I say? Sorry, I don't know what to say. I don't even know whether we should even bother.
Here's a way to pick you up.
Yes.
Go for it, Dan.
So, Russ, today, big day for Michael Kahn's Excalibur has been released. Tell us more.
Oh, well, this is the flip of what we just talked about. This is go and download the demo. Just go and get it. That'll be the best demo you download this year. It is awesome. Absolutely beyond.
It is killer, isn't it?
It's killer. Rarely does a product make me smile, but this I've been helping Michael on this one, and some of the people have been helping Michael on it as well. I think Kenny Joya has said it's a product that lives up to the hype and more. So it's a multi effects processor in the vein of things like H3000, SPX90, Rev7, Quadraverb.
It's mental. That's what it is.
But then you imagine a multi-effects processor crossed with a modular synth, and you get somewhere close to what it is going down. It does nutty things, like you can put a piano in a wine glass.
I want to do that. You played that to me in the cab a few weeks ago, and I thought, no, what? That's just for that alone.
Yeah,
I'm buying it.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. It's fantastic. So there we go. What more can I say?
Yeah, and Michael's had, he's got the various people been able to write a whole raft of presets. So you've got over 500 built-in presets to get you going. But that really, just take a look at the presets and see how they're structured. See how the different elements of this modular multi-effects processor can be interlinked, so you can use the LFO to modulate this and then bring it back round, and it's really difficult to explain how it all functions. As Russ says, go and get the demo. You've got the chance of a lower price until April the 10th, so go download the demo. If you like it, then grab it whilst it's down at the lower price.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Just go and try it.
Yeah, I've got to get my wife to buy that for me. It's my birthday on the 11th of April.
Well, she needs to buy it before then.
Yeah, I'll tell her.
Sorry, I forgot about Excalibur. That's just cheered me up.
Good.
On the same day, Pro Tools 12 and Excalibur. Talk about the sublime.
Chalk
ridiculous.
And cheese.
Yeah, chalk and cheese, yes.
It really is. Anyway.
Brilliant. Good news. So let's move along, and we've got some community feedback, and they're sponsored by our friends at RSPE Audio.
The Pro Tools Expert Community Feedback is brought to you with the kind support of RSPE Audio Solutions. Great people and great prices.
Right, we got Joe Teresi. Sorry if I've just, said your name completely wrong there. He says, hello, I'm wondering what is a recording checklist chart? A type of spreadsheet chart that songs, titles are on one axis and instruments on the other axis, where all my instruments are listed. So as you record your album, you check off what instruments you've recorded so you can easily see what's left to record on each song. Also good info to keep on. It would be the song title, BPM, mic use, date of the recorded track. I know it would be pretty easy to create one. Maybe you have a PDF or Excel template you could share with our community, or where to find one. Thanks for any help. This would be a great tip for our community to use. Thanks and have a great day. Joe, Rochester.
Good. Track sheets.
New York.
Track sheets. Do you remember those guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They used to then print stick them to the front of the tape.
That's it.
I've got a whiteboard.
On the box. Not on the tape. No, I don't mean you used to. Yeah. If you're stupid, you actually would. But yeah, on the box, on the front of the box, they were. Yeah. They're called track sheets, Joe. Dan. Joe. Joe. It is Joe.
Joe.
Sorry. Joe. Dan. Fred. It did exactly what you've just said. It was the song, the BPM, the time code, stripe. all that stuff.
Yeah, or if you were, I watched a documentary years ago on Queen, and they were looking at the old track sheets, and you've got Freddie Mercury just drawing all over them.
Doodling.
So, yeah. So doodling.
I use a whiteboard, because obviously we haven't got really anywhere to put them so much anymore, and often sessions come in, sessions go out pretty quick. I've just got a whiteboard on the wall, which is divided up into loads of instruments and the track names.
Ah, hold on, there's something come to mind. Wasn't there a plugin that Pro Tools Expert put out a little while ago, and there was a plugin that you could put all this information in into Pro Tools? What was it called? And you could put pictures in and things.
Wasn't it Notepad? Didn't you use it in the old version of the Mac? There was OS 9. There used to be a thing called Notepad, didn't there?
Yeah, but Dan, you're right. I can't remember it, but you're right about having a plugin.
There was a plugin for it.
Now, I can't remember whether it's the same one or something different, but I seem to remember Stephen Massey at one point on his sort of little plugins that were extra bits and pieces. He did something along these lines. But you're right, there was a sort of plugin that you just dropped on a track somewhere, and it would allow you to log all the information. Because what I was about to say is use an Excel spreadsheet and just drop it in the session folder so that it's always with you as you move around, because I do think trying to keep a check of what you've done, what you haven't done, so that you don't get to the end of start mixing an album and realize, oh poo, we never got them to put that part down when they were in the studio, you know.
Good session management would do that, though. I mean, if you load up in your mixer the tracks you intend to record,
yes,
which means you're also going to name those tracks, you're going to color them, and in the notes at the bottom under the channel strip bit, put in what microphone you're using.
Always, like, and mic pre,
absolutely.
And settings.
Yeah. Well, use your iPhone. When I'm using like preamps and that, I'll take a picture.
Yeah,
just
likewise.
In case. Yeah, you just put a picture on it, and just all of that stuff can be done quite simply. It's going to take you longer to write it down, I think, and use Excel sheets.
No, I think building it into the session itself makes a lot of sense, because then you don't even have to open up another document. It's all there.
It's there, yeah. Which is good for collaboration.
The old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way, yeah.
We like that. Right, so next one is from Ian Dearden. It says, Russ, can you please urgently do a video using Audio Mux / MIDI Mux with Pro Tools on OS X? John Walden has an excellent article, but uses Cubase, and the video at the end of it with a video at the end of his article from the MIDI Mux crew utilizes this live. Many thanks from Ian. I've not come across these two applications.
They're for the iPad, aren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, basically, you could send and receive stuff from the iPad directly into your door. I'll have to download it and play with it, and then do a video, because I haven't even used it. But apparently, it's a bit cool. So there's MIDI Mux, which is the MIDI one, then Audio Mux, which is the audio one, and I think it sends and receives. It's a bi-directional, interface for so that you can use it, tie it in with the rest of your gear.
Very cool, like that.
Yeah, we'll have to give it a go, and I will make a video and come back to you. Anyway, let's get some questions from the community. These are sponsored by our friends at Alchemia.
Pro Tools Expert Questions are brought to you by Alchemia, Europe's number one official Pro Tools training centre.
Right then, Andy Schmidt via Facebook. Okay, I've got a question on shortcuts. Can't find the post, but a while back there was something on creating shortcuts for Pro Tools in Mac System Preferences under the keyboard option. This works great and use it all the time for that stuff, but that doesn't natively have shortcuts in Pro Tools. But I have two problems. One is that when I use the Pro Tools Preference app to trash the preferences, it trashes all those shortcuts with it. Any way around that? And secondly, is when you create the shortcut, it must be written exactly as it is in the drop-down menu in Pro Tools, but now some of these items are named differently, I think, or he says the same.
No, they're named the same.
They're named the same. Sorry, I've got you. Yeah, so they're named the same, so there's duplicates, basically.
Yeah.
For example, cut, copy, and clear all automation is also called all automation. So when creating this shortcut, it makes a shortcut for the actions, confusing Pro Tools just a tad. Anyone know a workaround? Now, Mike, you've done some work on this in the past. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Basically, just to take the first part first, you don't say whether you're using Pro Tools 10 or 11, but clearly by the experience that you've got, these additional shortcuts are being stored in one of the files that Pro Tools Prefs trashes, and it's almost certainly the Pro Tools Preferences file itself. However, what you know, great that you're using Pro Tools Prefs, but one of the things you can do is to use the backup and restore feature in Pro Tools Prefs. So once you've got a fully working system, then back up a full set of the files that Pro Tools Prefs can trash and so you get fresh ones, do a full backup, and then when you need to trash them, if you've got some problems, then immediately having trashed them, then restore from your good set, and that way you won't have to recreate all those shortcuts or reset all the preferences and all the settings, because obviously if you just trash the preferences, then you've got to go back through and reset all the settings to the way you like them. If you use a backup and restore, then you can just restore a known working set of files, and Pro Tools comes back set up the way that you like it. As to identical items, you're not the only one finding this a challenge. I was talking very recently with Brian Daly, who does the Hotkey Matrix, and he was commenting on the challenge of identically named items in the menu, in the Pro Tools menus. And in essence, as far as I'm certainly aware, there is no workaround. The problem is that we're using the way you're, what you're using here is a feature in the Mac operating system where you can create shortcuts. But you need to, as you rightly say, you need to put the wording exactly as it is in the menu item in Pro Tools. And one of the problems we have in Pro Tools now is some of those menu items, or the sub-menu items, are the same. And so there's confusion because the OS doesn't know which one to trigger. So unfortunately, until Avid produce menu items that aren't identical, it's going to be a problem because you're using the OS. The only other way you may be able to get around it is to use some other kind of shortcut creation software, maybe something like QuickKeys, although, as I say, I haven't tried it to know whether that would work, but I suspect it's a little bit more intelligent in being able to work out, no, you want the one that's in that menu rather than the one that's in the other menu. So that would be my only other suggestion, but you're absolutely right. I'll hunt the links out for the article on doing shortcuts within Pro Tools, and we'll put that in the podcast notes.
Good. So, next question is from Rudolf Groix. I think that's how you say it. Groix. Forgive me, Rudolf. I've been owning the HD7 system for a few years using the Mac G4. I just purchased a Mac Pro and the recording audio interface cannot be transferred to this computer. Are there any cards available for the Mac Pro that would be compatible with the DigiDesign 96 interface? Or what would be my best option at this time? It sounds like a chassis he needs, doesn't it? You could chassis it.
Yeah,
I think he means a Mac Pro, doesn't he? The new trash can.
I read this as two ways, because if he's bought a Mac Pro, let's refer to it as the cheese grater, he says, I bought a Mac Pro, not necessarily a new Mac Pro. There could be two problems. First problem could be if you've bought one of the older HD PCI cards, they have what I'm going to refer to as long PCI. Now, most of the newer machines, like certainly the G5 series and the Mac Pro cheese graters, used PCIe format, which is a much, much shorter and differently configured PCI slot. Now, if that's the problem, in fact, the solution is pretty much the same for both. If that's the problem, you're going to need some kind of external expansion chassis, either one that talks to your machine via the correct form of PCI, or if you have, as I've now perhaps interpreted and Russ has interpreted, obviously, you have bought a trash can style Mac Pro, found there are no card slots in it, you're going to need some kind of PCIe chassis that will convert to Thunderbolt, and there are several available. We've looked at them. Sonnet do one, Magma, who I can never say without doing that, do one. And
but, I mean, one of his problems is that with a G4, it's going to be, as you say, the old PCI, the PCIX cards. Well, you won't, I don't think, although you'll be able to potentially get a PCIX chassis that would go on a trash can and you put a PCIe card in your machine, all the chassis that obviously work with a Mac Pro trash can are all going to be PCIe. So, Rudolph, I think you know, one option may be to change your PCIX cards for PCIe cards. The key thing is that you wouldn't necessarily need to change your DigiDesign interface because the 96 will function even with an HDX card, which is the current version of the cards. It'll certainly work with an HD PCIe. The problem is if you go down, you've got to make sure that you've got the reasonable set of cards because otherwise you're going to have a problem with the hardware not running with the current versions of Pro Tools. So yeah, it's not going to be.
It's not going to be a cheap solution, is it?
No,
that's sure.
No.
I can't think any way out of this other than buying used HD cards, PCIe.
Yeah.
Which
I mean, well, the Magma chassis did. The Magma chassis, there is one that will convert from PCIX, and then you can put it into a PCIe slot. That does exist.
That is correct. Yes.
That does exist. And if you have a PCIe slot in your Mac Pro trash can style, then that will work. It's totally supported by Avid. I'm going to say that with a certain amount of crossed fingers. In fact, I've seen it work. I'm pretty sure I've heard them do support for it on the phone.
But does that cost? Does the outlay of that?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking probably on eBay. You could probably pick one of those older Magma chassis up for a
few hundred, I would have thought.
Yeah, I would. Okay. I would say between 500 and 700. I would have thought that's going to be the upper estimate. But if you've bought a new Mac Pro trash can, you are looking at serious investment.
Because you're going to have to get an expansion chassis, whichever way you go.
If you if you don't want that, I've got one here.
You could buy HD native.
Yeah. And use the power of the Mac Pro trash can.
No, the other you can buy a Thunderbolt box and use that.
Yeah.
Can't he?
It won't. He could. No, the only problem. Yes, you could get an HD native Thunderbolt. The challenge will be buying an HD native Thunderbolt box without an interface.
eBay.
I bet they appear on eBay.
They're on eBay, mate.
But if you can go onto eBay and get a Pro Tools native Thunderbolt box, that will
plug. So HD native, not
correct. Yeah. Pro Tools HD native Thunderbolt box. Hang that off the back of your trash can, so that just needs a single Thunderbolt cable. That you can then plug your DigiDesign 96 interface into that with the appropriate mini to old style Digilink cable.
Yeah, Digilink cable. Yeah.
And away you go. So I think overall that's probably going to be the cleanest and simplest solution.
Thank you.
Sell your HD7 interface, so your HD7 cards, buy a HD native Thunderbolt box, and go that way.
But I think you'd be scared how little you'll get for a PCIX HD core card.
Yes,
I think you're probably looking at under £100 you'll get for that.
Correct.
Which is very scary.
I think it's about 70 quid, isn't it?
Yeah.
No jokes. I'm serious. Yeah. It's about 70 quid.
Keep it. You never know when you need to use a backup system.
Yeah.
If you've still got your old computer, it might well be worth just leaving it.
Just keep it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Dan.
Because the G4 isn't going to...
It's only money.
G4's not going to realise that much either.
Yeah.
So, I think that may well be a good call there, Dan.
I always keep my system that I've upgraded from. For exactly that reason, it's nice to know that I've got my old 003. I know it's not the same system. That's only worth probably a couple hundred quid on eBay. But you know what? I pull it out every single time I do a video for Pro Tools Expert. And when I need to do recording outside of the house or the studio, that comes along with me. And I haven't used it for years. It's just recently. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to use that. It's easier. than lugging everything else out. So yeah, keep your old systems, because you never know, your new Mac could break for any reason, and at least you know you can go straight back to the old one.
So here's a question from Joe LaHart. I'm using Pro Tools 10.3.7, and when I open my last session and go to my insert drop-down menu, everything is grayed out until I put the mouse over it. Then it highlights my plugins one by one down the drop-down menu, annoying and time-consuming. How can I rectify this?
Yeah, I mean...
Sounds like it's a corrupted file, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've seen this happen occasionally, and in essence, I think it's time for a reinstall. I would start with doing a clean reinstall of Pro Tools. You could try just reinstalling Pro Tools over the top. I would be inclined to potentially just do an uninstall carefully. You need to make sure that you keep your plugins folder. So do a deinstall. So protect, make copies of your plugins folders, etc. Do an uninstall, then a reinstall of Pro Tools. If that doesn't fix it, then you may be looking at a clean reinstall of your operating system.
Yeah, I think that's. I think there's no more else to say. Michael Sentonzi, Russ, please help. I'm going crazy with my Pro Tools 11 HDX2 in memory menu. I only see one of the 24 available CPUs working at full scale and the others stopped. And the pop-up saying you're out of memory. I'd like to attach the screenshot, but I don't know how to in your website. Can you help me? Another big trouble that's driving me crazy, when I write MIDI data, the sound I'm playing is a little late, and when I'm playback, it's very early on the beat. It's like the delay compensation is working with the wrong parameter, but I didn't find any way to fix it. I don't even know how to get out of this crazy situation. Mike, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, I'll start with the first bit. I think what you're referring to is the CPU usage in the system usage window. Now, if Pro Tools is only using one of the CPUs, then it's a settings issue. Now, in Pro Tools 10, you could allocate how many CPUs Pro Tools would use, but that option has been taken away from us in Pro Tools 11. So I think this may well be time to do a trash the preferences. So use PT prefs to trash your preferences and see if that clears the problem and allows you to use more than one of your CPUs. Because you're talking about 24 available CPUs, it sounds like you've got a 12-core machine. If that doesn't do it, then it may well be time to do a reinstall of Pro Tools. Russ, what about the MIDI issue?
It could be that you've got your low latency monitoring switched off, or you're going through a bus. There's this whole bus issue, isn't there, Mike?
Yeah. But I mean, this is MIDI. I get the impression this is MIDI data. He says, when I write MIDI data, the sound I'm playing is a little late, and when I play it back, it's a little bit early. Isn't this MIDI delay issues that we've come up against in the past?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. I still get some problems like this every so often, especially if I'm loading up something from Pro Tools 10 into Pro Tools 11, I can get issues like this. I don't know how to work it out either.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, there's so many things it could be doing, because he said it's playing late when he plays it and then early when he plays back, which means that the delay compensation is out somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, certainly
what it means is you're monitoring and it's playing late, but when the delay compensation does its job, it's pulling it back. Possibly it's supposed to pull it back on into time based upon the delay compensation calculations, but it sounds like it's not. So I think
we need a bit more information.
Yeah, we've
really had
that before. So, sorry, I wish we could. I wish we could be more helpful.
Next question's from Anthony Timmers. He says, "Hello, everybody at Pro Tools Expert. Sadly, I couldn't create an account at the moment, so I thought I'd mail you experts. Well, as we say so often, we're not necessarily the experts, but pulling together, we can all help to make each other experts." But moving on back to Anthony, he says, "Big fan of Pro Tools and love being in all day in my studio. At the moment, I want to switch from an iMac to a Mac Pro, and I use currently an Avid Omni and Avid HD Native. But I'm beginning to have bigger and bigger sessions with a lot of native instruments and other virtual instruments. Also, recording vocals is something I do a lot. When I'm mixing, I use a lot of waves and sound toys, and I wanted to ask some advice of you. After reading a lot about the new Mac Pro, I couldn't find the answer. What would be the best configuration? I would like to have a Mac Pro now with a 3 gig, 8 core, with 64 gig of RAM, 1 terabyte PCIe flash car, flash drive, a more substantial video processor. And he says, but would a 2.7 gig, 12 core, so what he's really effectively saying is, would a 2.7 gig, 12 core be better than a 3 gig, 8 core for Pro Tools 11? And it's, I think, Russ, it's got your name all over it, because it seems as though he's using a lot of virtual instruments, and that was one of the key factors that you considered when actually dropping using HD and going back to using native with your Mac Pro trash can.
Yeah, basically, if you're using a lot of virtual instruments and a lot of Waves plugins and a lot of UAD, then HDX really isn't going to help you, unless you use a lot of HDX stuff as well. If you've got to do a lot of low latency tracking, then go for HDX. If you're using a lot of VIs, native computing now and Pro Tools 11 are more than powerful enough with a good computer to do that. And I don't miss Pro Tools. I don't miss my HDX ever. Bearing in mind what we said on the show last week, this is not a slab down of it's horses for courses. And I think I also wrote an article, depending on the DSP type processing you're doing. When I say DSP processing, if you've invested in a lot of UAD plugins, then you're using their processing anyway to run your plugins, like in an Apollo or one of their cards. So, but you say using
and the Waves plugins are own, don't run on the Pro Tools DSP card.
And Soundtoys don't.
Soundtoys do they? Soundtoys is native, so the plugins that you're using won't be using.
They're not going to take advantage of the HDX at all.
No. So there is a lot of merit, I think, with your configuration, Anthony, of looking at going native and maybe looking at a Thunderbolt type interface. I mean, Russ, you're very pleased with your Apogee, aren't you?
I love it. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. So
sorry, but I've missed something. I think he's actually saying, should I buy this Mac or that Mac? And obviously, one being a bit more powerful than the other, potentially.
Slower processor speed.
Yeah, yeah. What I was just going to say was, he kind of needs to look at where he is now, where he was a year ago, and where he thinks he may be in a year or two. That might help him a little bit. He's trying to buy a machine for now, but he's saying his projects are getting bigger and he's using more of this, that, and the other. Is that where he's going, or is he going to, you know, only he knows this? You can buy all this powerful stuff like Russ did with HDX and then realize I don't need it and make a loss on it. So he kind of needs to look at that as well. Do you not think?
Definitely.
That's my opinion. I wouldn't look at buying anything unless I know I'm going to earn that back in a year or two and keep using it.
I think at the time of buying anything, you need to say, this is a personal point of view, I try and get the very best thing that it is possible to get of the thing I want to get. When I bought my new laptop, I bought the most super duper, all singing, all dancing, upgraded it to the hilt MacBook Pro. At the time of buying my Mac Pro, I bought the most serious one I could get at the time within my budget, and possibly pushed my budget a little bit more when I realized there was such a thing as the refurb store. Within 3 weeks of buying that machine, any machine, it's like as soon as you drive a car off the forecourt, it's worth half its value. And what we've also said tonight is, as long as it can still do what you want it to do, if you find that you're doing a session with 30 VIs and two real instruments, that's not a great stress for a £500 machine these days. If you're doing a tracking session with 150 microphones and 500 VIs, that's a pretty big ask for even a supercomputer like one of the new Mac Pros. Depends what you're doing. So get the best you can afford at the time. I think if you're going to say balance processor speed of, let's face it, it's only, 300, 2.7 to a 3? I mean, it's not a great increase in actual processor speed or decrease in processor speed, but you're getting more of them. More is always more.
Yeah. And if you're using a lot of VIs, then more processors is going to be the slight reduction in clock speed is going to be far outweighed by the increase in the number of cores. But it does, you do need to look at what you're planning to use it for. But if you're going to be using a lot of VIs, then having those extra cores is going to be a good thing.
And yes, Pro Tools can use all 64 gig of RAM in a 64 yes. in a 64 bit system.
Absolutely. So again, well worth having that extra RAM as well. So hope that helps you, Anthony, with that one. And I think it's time we move on to Find of the Week. James, what's yours Find of the Week?
Well, going back to something we talked about a little while ago, it seems to be jumping all over the place today. I found a new set of guitar strings. Doesn't sound terribly exciting, apart from when you factor in that one of the things that's in the top five is put a new set of guitar strings on. I think Russ has said that for recording acoustics. I've said it for recording electrics at various points in time, and so has Dan. Didario NYXL guitar strings. I don't know what they've done. In fact, there's an awful lot of blurb on their site about how they've come up with some new alloy that's super water resistant and something, something, bloody, bloody, blah. I don't know. I don't care. They sound amazing. They're a little bit more expensive, but if it means they last for two sessions rather than one, it's worth every single penny. Didario NYXLs. They're amazing.
And you're finding they do, in fact, last longer.
I've had on my Strat, I've had a set now for about 2 months, and they still zing and sound gorgeous.
Really? That long?
Yeah, really.
Wow. And that's you. You know, you must play your guitar a lot.
It's not just me. My studio was always built around the whole have one good of everything. So a good Strat, a good Les Paul, a good Tele. When people come in, if they want that sound, but they haven't got that instrument, I've got it here. It's on the shelf. It's ready to go. So lots of people have played those guitars, certainly that Strat. And I thought, I'll stick a set of these on, see how they sound. They are still sounding fresh as a daisy 2 months in.
Do they come in gauges, lots of different gauges?
No, 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s. I've got 11s on my 335 because it's quite a nice, low action guitar, so I can sort of get lots of lovely sustain on them. 10s on my Strat, and they sound amazing. Get them, buy them, they're worth the extra money.
Dan, what's your find of the week?
Just a quick one, YouTube related. It's a new thing they're putting out called YouTube for Artists, I think. It's an insight tool to help you share your music, engage your fans, and build a career. That last bit sounds a little bit promising, but I think the whole idea is they're trying to focus a portion of YouTube for people like myself and lots of others out there that are putting original music out there. Just sort of, I don't know, help us out a little bit. It's fairly new, as I said. I only really had a quick look at this the other day. We'll just see how it goes. Look into it yourself. Google YouTube artists for artists, I think.
Yeah, so, we'll put the link up on in the podcast notes for you.
So, Mike, what's yours?
So, apparently, there's a little issue cropped up that Pro Tools doesn't like the letter C. It transpires that if you name a bounce file something like mixin C, then when you actually come back and look at the file name, it says mixin_01 without the C. Basically, if
that's not helpful if you're working with somebody you really hate.
Yeah. If your C isn't preceded by a space, it's okay. If the C is in the middle of the name, it's okay. And essentially, what it seems to be is an issue with certain protected letters, the C, L, R, the left surround, right surround, L, lowercase s, R, lowercase s. And if those letters finish a file name, it drops them.
All right, okay.
So, interesting little find of the week.
So
there we go.
That should be a new feature in Pro Tools 13, that you can use all the letters in the alphabet.
Russ, what's your find of the week?
Mine's very quick. Ironically, it's a little app that you can get from the App Store. It's called Disksomnia, and it keeps drives that you are... It writes a file to a drive every minute that you use as a media drive, so they don't go to sleep when you're working, so you don't have hangs when you're using Pro Tools or Final Cut and stuff like that. It drives me crazy sometimes with all my network drives. It's called Disksomnia. It's an app. We'll give you a link to it. And on that wide awake... application, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
Good night.